Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
There is a story in the Bible in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. It's a story about a little boy named Samuel. He lives in a home with a priest named Eli. One night, Samuel's laying in bed, and he's trying to go to sleep, and he hears this voice call out his name, Samuel, Samuel. And so he jumps out of bed, and he runs to Eli's room, and he says, "Here I am." And Eli says, I didn't call you. And he says, go back and lay back down in bed. And so Samuel goes back to his room, and he lays down, and once again, he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel. And so he jumps out of bed again. He runs to Eli's room, and he says, "Here I am." And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And for some of you who are parents of young children, you're thinking, that sounds a lot like our home on a nightly basis, right? But he goes back to his room, and the very next verse in 1 Samuel 3 says this. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him." Now, it might sound like that this means that Samuel didn't yet believe in God. But actually, that's not the case. He did believe. But actually, from what I understand, this verse could also be translated this way. He did not know how to listen to God. He did not know how to listen to God. Well, Samuel goes back to bed, and once again, this voice comes, Samuel, Samuel. Getting a little tired of the routine, he still gets up, and he runs to Eli's room. He says, "Here I am." And Eli says, "I didn't call you." And then Eli says, "Wait, maybe it's God calling you. Go back, lay down in bed, and if you hear the voice again, call out your name, respond this way. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel went back, laid down in bed, and once again, the voice came. Samuel, Samuel. And this time, instead of jumping out of bed, Samuel simply said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And guess what happened? God spoke to him. Like, out loud, like in an audible voice that Samuel could hear with his ears. I mean, a pretty cool story and a pretty cool experience. But maybe you hear that and you think, that's a nice story, Jeff. But God doesn't do anything like that anymore. Or does he? Does God really communicate to ordinary people like you and me still today? And if he does, how does he speak to us? Well, we're in this new series that we're starting today called Soup Cans. And it's a short series. It's just a couple of weeks. But I really believe that this series could be life-changing for many of us in this room today. We're going to talk about it over the next 2 weeks. Just how God speaks and how we listen. And what I want to do, because here's the reality is, the truth is that God still speaks. Okay? He does. He still speaks to people today. And I'm going to talk in a few minutes about how he speaks. But there's no question that he speaks. The question really for you and I is do we listen? Do we know how to listen to God? Or what was said of Samuel, could that be said of us, that he or she didn't know how to listen to God? You know, if that describes you, I'm so glad you're here today. Because again, we're going to talk about this very thing over the next couple of weeks, about how God speaks and how we listen. But let me kind of begin here. Christianity is all about a relationship. Now, we talk about that quite a bit here at Verve. But we just talk about how God is not interested in you just doing a bunch of religious rituals in your life. He's not interested in you just carrying out a bunch of traditions or trying to amass a great resume of good works. That actually what God wants from us is he wants a relationship with us. That he loves you and he loves me and he longs to be in a relationship with us. And so if that's true, and it totally is, here's the question. Can you picture God having a relationship with you but not talking to you? Can you picture God having a relationship with you but not talking to you? I mean, because I think we all understand, like, healthy relationships are based on two-way communication, right? I mean, how many of you have had a friend in your life who talks and talks and talks and talks? How many of you are sitting by that person right now? No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand, right? But you know what? You know, you had that friend who just talks and talks, and it's always their story they want to tell, and it's always their experience they want to share with you, and you can't get a word in edgewise. That's hard to maintain that relationship, isn't it? You probably would not use the word healthy to describe it. Or maybe like in a marriage, you know, there's one of the spouses who just talks all the time, does all the talking. And the other spouse never says anything, you know, just sits there like a bump on a log. I mean, never reveals their heart, never expresses how they really feel. You know, in a relationship like that, we call that person a what? Not a man, okay? Not a husband. We call that person a non-communicative person, okay? Now, I think we know where most spouses usually fall out there, right? But that's not healthy, right? We realize that in a healthy relationship, it's based on two-way communication. And so the question is, why would God have a relationship with us and not talk to us? I mean, why would God's end of the line or God's end of the soup can be equipped with a receiver but not a mouthpiece? You see, here's the reality. We don't just talk to God, but we listen for God's voice in our lives. You know, some voices are very distinct, such as people in your family. You know, we recognize family members' voices very quickly. When I call my mom, I don't have to announce to her who's calling her. I don't have to identify myself every time I call her because she immediately recognizes my voice. Some celebrity voices are very popular and very easy to identify. One of the things Lisa and I love to do when we take our girls to an animated movie is we like to sit there and guess, like, who are the celebrity voices behind the main characters in the movie? Because a lot of times you can pick some of those out. And the question for us today and in life is can I recognize God's voice? Can I recognize when God is speaking into my life? And how does God speak into my life? There's a passage of scripture in the book of John, and Jesus says this. He says in John 10, verse 2, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them," and then listen to this, "and his sheep follow him." Why? Because they know his voice. And what Jesus is getting at here is he's saying, you know, a Christian should learn to recognize God's voice. But I think if we were honest, I think we'd have to admit that we get a little bit leery of this whole idea that God talks to us, that God speaks to me. Someone put it this way. They say, you know, when we talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to us, it's called schizophrenia. Right? I mean, it's just, I don't know about you, I'm just a little leery when I hear somebody say, God said, or God told me, or God told me to tell you this. You know, I get a little, I'm not sure about that, right? But the reality is if Christianity is all about a relationship, then prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is not this one-way conversation where we talk and God listens. Prayer is actually a time where not only do we talk, but we also listen to what God has to say to us, and we listen to what He has for us to do. But if we're going to do that, we have to learn to recognize God's voice. And if we're going to live in this kind of relationship that God desires to have with us, we've got to learn how He speaks and how to listen. So what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about those two very things. I'm going to talk today about how God speaks. Next week, Vince is going to be back, and he's going to talk about how we listen. So today, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you four ways that God speaks to us today. Four ways that God speaks to ordinary people like you and me yet today. Now, these are not the only ways that God speaks, but they are common ways that God speaks. And there are four ways that God, for all I know, may be trying to speak to you in your life even today. And so one of the ways that God speaks to us is through our circumstances. Okay? It's through the circumstances of our life. Sometimes, you know, little coincidences happen in our lives that some people call God incidences. But just little things or big things that happen in our circumstances that God causes and uses to let us know He's watching us and He's caring over us, or to let us know something that He wants us to do in our life. Now, I always feel like I need to give a word of warning about how God speaks through circumstances, because I think sometimes people get a little carried away with this avenue of God speaking, to the point that, you know, maybe they start to see the Virgin Mary in their toast while they're eating breakfast, right? You've heard about that kind of thing. Or, you know, some guy goes, yeah, I was driving my truck the other day, and I looked out the side window, and I saw this cloud shaped like a violin. I knew right then and there God was calling me to be a musician. I don't know if God really works that way, okay? And honestly, I kind of doubt it. But I do believe that God speaks to us through circumstances. I believe there are times in our life that God opens doors and He closes doors to show us what His will is. Some of you have asked me, since my family moved here in June to join the staff here at Verve, you've asked me, you know, what got you to move from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way over to Las Vegas. And I've told you, those of you who've asked, you know, we really felt like God was leading us here. But maybe didn't tell you the whole story. One of the reasons we felt like God was leading us here, it was through circumstances and through a change in those circumstances. We believe God was speaking through those. Vince has been after me for a while to come join the staff. And I prayed about it. And Lisa and I talked a lot about it for quite a while, and we just never felt like God was telling us to go. And some of those reasons, we had started a church in Atlanta, and I just looked at where things were and this current circumstance. I was like, I can't go. God's not releasing us from this to go serve out in Vegas. But you know what happened over about a 4 to 6 month period of time? As we prayed, as I shared these things with God, God started moving in some very, very big ways in the life of our church and in the life of my wife and I, and circumstances started to change. God brought people into our lives that we needed. He brought staff into our lives as a church. And it just became very obvious to us that God was going, it's time to go. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you. One of the ways I'm speaking to you is through circumstances. You can go now. This is what my will for your life is right now. You know, when you think about it, if you were to think about it for very long, maybe some of you come to Verve because of some coincidence that happened in your life, or rather a God incident. And that's why you find yourself here today. Maybe you ran into an old friend, or you connect with an old friend through Facebook or some social media that you hadn't talked to in years. And you come to find out through talking to them that they go to this great church, this great new church, has this really handsome executive pastor that serves there. And I don't know where that came from, but, you know, it's just some God incidents. And you realize, I should go. And you find yourself here. Or maybe a family member of yours started coming, and that kind of surprised you in and of itself. And as you listened to them talk and you saw God working, they're like, you thought, you know, maybe this is something I need to do, and you came. Maybe God gave you a job with someone else who comes to Verve, or maybe you share a cubicle with somebody who comes to Verve, and they kept talking to you about how you should come. And it's just a circumstance that God used to speak into your life. God does that. That's one of the ways he speaks into our lives today. You see, friends, God longs to have a relationship with us, and so he pursues us. And maybe for some of us, he's had to work overtime to pursue us, to get us where he wants us to be. But God speaks to us through our circumstances. There's a second way God speaks to us, and that is through the church and through godly friends. Now, I got to tell you, I think this is the one we tend to dismiss quite easily because we tend to ignore the words of those closest to us, right? Hey, yes, your family member says something, you're like, it's just my mom, right? Because we just tend not to listen to family. Or it was just a friend, they're supposed to say that. And so we just tend to ignore or dismiss the words of friends, and we fail to realize a lot of times, God is putting people in our life to speak to us. In fact, he's doing that all the time. He's putting people around you and around me who can speak his words into our lives. And we forget about that sometimes. There's a great story in the Old Testament about King David. King David was a married man, and he was bored one night, and so he just went onto the roof of his palace and just was looking over his city, and he noticed a woman taking a bath. This woman's name was, are you ready for this? Bathsheba. Like, really? Bathsheba's taking a bath? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? Thankfully, David didn't see her cousin, whose name was Shower Sheba. It's really good. That would have really been a bad story. But he sees Bathsheba, and so he sends somebody over to invite her back to the palace. And so she accepts the invitation, comes back to the palace, ends up sleeping with David. She gets pregnant, and to add to it, she's also married. But her husband is at war. So what ends up happening is David has Bathsheba's husband killed. So now he's not just an adulterer, he's also a murderer. And David doesn't feel all that bad about it. And then one day, a friend of David's comes by to talk with him, a friend named Nathan. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12 about the visit. It says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David." Don't miss that. The Lord sent Nathan to David. "When he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other very poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, it drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or his own cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him.'" So David hears this story. That's what it says. "David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die.'" Right? "He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing, and he had no pity." And then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Woo. You see, God was speaking to David through Nathan. And what God does is he will sometimes use Christian friends. And he will sometimes use the church to speak to us, to help us hear what we need to hear. You see, the reality is we all have blind spots in our life. We all have those places in our life that we're just never going to see in and of ourselves what needs to be changed, what needs to be corrected. And what God does is he puts people into our life to speak truth into our life. And let me just tell you that every one of us in this room, me included, we need somebody in our life who loves us enough to tell us the truth. Because we're not always honest with ourselves. And we need somebody who will be. I think this is one of the benefits of microgroups here at Verve. Microgroups are just groups of 3 to 5 ladies or 3 to 5 guys that get together every week just to share life together, just to encourage one another in their spiritual journey. And here's what happens in a microgroup. What happens is it puts people in your life who, as you get to know and you have some time with, you begin to trust. And who begin to give you permission and you give them permission to speak into each other's lives. Friends, what God does is he uses those friends in your life to speak his words to you. And if you're not in a microgroup, we're working right now even at just expanding our microgroup ministry, having a lot more groups out there. If you're not in a microgroup and you'd like to be a part of one or you'd be interested in getting in one, go stop by our Velcro bar on the way out. We've got registration cards you can use to fill it out. We'll get in touch with you and find out a great time and a great group that would be a good fit for you to meet with. You know, one of the reasons that we come to church each week is really to allow God to communicate with us. You know, whether it's through the music, whether it's through communion, or whether it's through the message that day. Anytime I speak here at Verve, I always pray a prayer. It's very simple, and it basically goes something like this. God, you know who's going to be here today. You know who is coming to Verve this weekend. You know who's coming on Monday night. And more than that, God, you know what those folks need to hear. So God, would you use me to speak to them? You see, I don't know you that well, but God does. And my prayer is that God would take whatever has been prepared, whatever I've gotten ready to say, that he would use those words and that he would even interject other words that you personally need to hear from him today. A couple months ago, I was speaking up here, and I was approaching a line in my message where I basically was saying that, you know, in order... if you're to be a Christian, you've got to come to the place in your life where you just humbly say, I need a Savior. You realize I can't save myself. Now, I'll tell you, in that particular message, that wasn't one of my main points. It actually wasn't even one of my main lines that I had in my message. But during one particular service a couple months ago, as I was approaching that part of my message, I felt like God was telling me to slow down when I got there and to speak with a little more emphasis on that particular line. And so I thought, okay, I'll do that. And so I tried to honor what I felt like God was prompting me to do there. I'm not kidding you. After the service, that particular service that day, one of you came up to me out in the lobby, and you came up to me and said, thanks so much for today. He said, when you said, and you quoted that line that I just said, when you said that, it was exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you. And I just thought, wow. Yeah. God wanted to speak that one line to that one person in the room that day. Friends, God will do that. God will speak to you through the church and through godly friends. He will speak to you and convict you on things that you need to change. He will speak to you positive words to encourage you in areas you need to be encouraged. But let me just assure you, friends, God will speak to you through the church and through godly friends. Well, a third way that God speaks to us today is through the Holy Spirit. It's through His Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says that God is a Trinity, okay? That basically God is one but three. He's three but one. That God is God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have time to unpack all of that about the Trinity. But what's interesting is the Bible says this about the Holy Spirit. It says that God gives us the Holy Spirit into us. He puts the Holy Spirit in any person who says yes to a relationship with Him. That when you invite God into your life, that God comes to live in your life in the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is, when you hear that, is, okay, so what does the Holy Spirit do? And in John, in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Bible calls the Holy Spirit our teacher, our counselor. It's kind of like we get this personal coach, this personal mentor. You know, people will spend thousands of dollars for like an executive coach in their life, and God says, "I'll give you one for free." Okay, how about that? If you invite me into your life, I'll give you a coach for free, and it's the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is He speaks to you. It's the way that God speaks to you. It says right here that He'll teach you things. He will remind you of things you already have learned. Now, it doesn't say He's going to do this with an audible voice. Okay, in fact, I'll go ahead and tell you. I have never had God speak to me in an audible voice like He did to Samuel in the story I shared at the beginning of the message. Okay? But here's what the Holy Spirit does is He'll give you thoughts. He will give you promptings. He will give you impressions or notions or inspirations on your mind. Kind of like He did a couple months ago while I was speaking. That was the Holy Spirit prompting me to emphasize that one line in the message. And I think we don't realize all the time, but I think God is whispering to us often if we would just listen. Maybe even today. Since you've been here, maybe while the band was playing, maybe God was whispering to you, "Hey, don't worry about if other people hear you sing. Just sing to me. Just sing to me with all your heart." Maybe today, or maybe this week, or weeks to come, maybe at work, maybe at school, God's going to whisper to you, go talk to Him. Go speak to her. She's having a tough day. She's lonely. Maybe God's been talking to you. God, I want you to volunteer in the children's ministry so that you can take your life and you can invest your life into the life of some kids. Maybe God's been prompting you and whispering to you, "Hey, you believe in me. So why don't you do what I've asked you to do? Why don't you get baptized? Why don't you just die to yourself and be raised up to the best kind of life you could possibly have?" And let me just say this. If you ever feel the Holy Spirit whispering to you, prompting you, do what He says. Okay? Just do it. Friends, God's got this huge, great plan, great adventure that He wants you to go on. Don't ignore Him when He's speaking to you, because you'll miss out on some of the best things in life. Well, God speaks to us today. Very clear. He speaks to us through our circumstances. He speaks to us through the church and godly friends. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. But one last and I think most important way that God speaks is through the Bible. It's through the Bible. And you may say, well, why is that the most important, Jeff? I would say, first of all, it's the most important way God speaks because it's the most clear. Okay. See, I think when God speaks through some other avenues, I think a lot of times it's real easy for us to feel like, I don't know if that's God or not. Right? Maybe that was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or maybe that was the Mexican I had last night. I'm just not sure, right? You know, sometimes we're not clear. And let's just be honest, okay? We all tend to hear what we want to hear, right? I mean, can we admit that? We all tend to suffer from self-centered hearing. It kind of reminds me of the guy, the dad who got a blood test done for a life insurance policy. He had a very young daughter who was very sensitive, very compassionate. And when he got home, his youngest daughter saw the Band-Aid on him and said, very concerned, you know, what happened? And he said, oh, I just had to get a blood test done. It's just like a shot. And she just, you know, very concerned and worried, said, so why did you have to do that? And so the dad, without really even thinking, just kind of absentmindedly, not thinking about how this might affect his sensitive daughter, just said, oh, it was for a life insurance policy. So if daddy dies, you know, your mother and you three kids, you'll have $300,000 that you can, you know, have something to live off of. And then it kind of dawned on him, like, oh, that was probably a little blunt, you know. I wonder how it's going to impact her. And you could tell on her face. I mean, she was very concerned. And she said, Daddy, is that $300,000 a piece? From a very early age, we learned this whole self-centered way of listening, don't we? I mean, we do. But here's what's so great about when God speaks through the Bible. Is we don't have to wonder if that's God or not. Like, we know this is God's word to us. I mean, there's all kinds of evidences that prove that this is God's word to us. And so, you know, like, whereas through circumstances or through other ways, we're like, I'm not sure if that was God. We don't have to ask. We know this is God's word. This is the most important way God speaks because it's not subjective in any way. You know, another reason that the Bible is, I think, the most important reason that God speaks to us today is that the more we get to know God's word, I believe the more we'll hear God in every other avenue of our life. You know, when God speaks to us through our circumstances, we have to measure those up against what He has said in God's word. We have to measure up whether that's accurate and make sure it's not just our self-centered hearing what we want to hear. Because you see, God is, He's never going to give you a circumstance. God is never going to give you a sign. God is never going to give you a feeling that goes against something that He has said in His word. Never, ever. It's kind of like the guy who falls for this woman at work and hooks up with this woman at work. And he feels like, he gets so emotionally caught up, he just feels like God is telling him to follow his true love, to just say goodbye to his wife of 15 years and his two young elementary age children, and to just hook up with this woman. Now, is that a prompting from God? No. That's a prompting from somewhere below the belt, right? I mean, that's what that is. Okay. See, God is never going to speak to us. God is never going to tell us something that He wants us to do, whether it's through our circumstances, whether it's through godly friends, whether it's through the Holy Spirit, that contradicts with what He has told us in the Bible, in His Word. He's never going to do that. God never contradicts Himself. See, the Bible is the most important way God speaks, because it gives us a foundation for everything God will ever say to us through every avenue in any context. And God will never contradict himself. There's another reason I think we need to know the Bible. It's mentioned in Psalm 119 in verse 105. It says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The Bible says it's kind of like a flashlight for life, right? It says it's this lamp that guides me. It's this light for the path that I'm walking. Now, understand that it's not a high-intensity beam. It's not this high-intensity spotlight in our life. Okay? And you see, some of us, you know, would love for God to show us our future, right? And God's never going to do that. He's not going to pull in this big high-beam light to show you the rest of your life. He's not going to do that for a couple of reasons. One, it would totally freak you out, okay? And it would totally scare you to death, and you'd be paralyzed for the rest of your life because you know what's coming. But you know, another reason why God doesn't share with you all the future, why it's not that bright light, why it's a lamp, why it's a flashlight instead, is because God wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to live by faith. Day by day. And so what God says here is, hey, you know, it's a lamp. It's a flashlight. You can't see but so far ahead with a flashlight. But you can see far enough ahead to take the next step. And what the Bible says is that it's a flashlight for our life. It shows us our next step, and we take that. And then guess what? We can see it enough to take the next step. And the next step, one step at a time. What the Bible does is God gives us just enough light for each day. That's what the Bible's for. You know, this is why a daily time with God is so important. Even if you just give them 5 minutes each day, where you just sit down and you have a Bible and you just say, you know what, for 5 minutes or for 10 minutes or for whatever amount of time, I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm going to let God speak to me through his words here. I'm going to let the Bible, I'm going to let God's word shed some light on my day. I'm going to let God's word shed some light on my decisions. This is why it is so important to have a daily time where you're just reading the Bible. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, or maybe you have a Bible, but it's like an old translation, you're not even sure what it's saying, all the thous and these. We would love to give you a Bible when you after the service today. Just stop by our Velcro bar. We'll give you a Bible, no strings attached. We'd just love for you to have a Bible that you can actually hear God speaking to you through. And in each Bible back there is actually a reading plan. So like if you don't have a plan, you can, we have it listed out just scriptures that you can read each day. It's not too much, and take 5 or 10 minutes, read those scriptures. And then we also have a thing called a Verve Catalyst that we email out each day, and it's just a short email that basically tells you just a little synopsis of what you were reading in the scriptures. Kind of explains it to you a little bit more. And if you would like to get that, you can sign up for that online, or you can stop by the Velcro bar when you grab a Bible. Just tell them you want to sign up for the Verve Catalyst, and they will sign you up today before you even leave, and you'll start getting those emails right away. But you need to be in God's Word. Someone said this, said, "God never shuts his mouth until we close the Bible." And that's so true. Don't ever be guilty of saying, "God's just not speaking to me. I just can't hear God speak," if you're not spending daily time in his book. God has spoken very clearly, and God continues to speak very clearly into our lives. Next week, we're going to continue in this series, but today, you just need to know that God still speaks. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through your friends and your church. He speaks through his Holy Spirit, and he speaks through the Bible. God still speaks. Next week, Vince is going to talk very specifically about some habits that we need in our life to help us listen well, to help us to be able to hear God talk. But here's what we're going to do with the next minute or so. We're going to give you a minute to just sit where you're sitting in silence. Okay? Total silence. Just so you can listen. We're just going to give you just an opportunity to be still. I know what the temptation is going to be is think about your to-do list, things you got to do today, this week, or where are we going to eat. I don't want you to think about any of those things. Just silence all those outside voices. And just beginning today, start to develop a heart that listens intently. Because, see, here's what I don't know. I don't know, but what maybe God has something he wants to speak to you today. And so we're just going to give you a minute, a little bit over a minute of just pure silence to listen. And I realize for some of you this may be awkward. And if it is awkward, maybe that should tell us something, that maybe we need to build in some more times in our life where we slow down and we get quiet so that we can hear from God. But maybe even during this minute, maybe if you're a person who prays, maybe pray the prayer that Eli taught Samuel. To just say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But right now, I just encourage you, bow your head and just enjoy the silence and listen if there's anything God wants to say to you this morning.